Off the Ball
Rugby.
She's like, yeah, it's a long time since we accepted moral victories in Munster, considering the history and the success of the club. Players won't feel that way. They would have been going out to get a victory. They did get 2 points, which, you know, is no mean feat considering who they were playing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
DSN, GG, MB.
All right.
What's MB, going on? MB. Are we well?
Ah, yeah.
A bit of a tactical switch up here last night. Yeah. Just like the second half's team last night, of many substitutions, 7 minutes added on at the end. What did we learn last night, guys? Republic of Ireland 0, North Macedonia 0. For those who missed it, Troy Parrott, couple of lovely disallowed goals. Second one probably should have counted. Yeah. Hit the post, other opportunities. Johnny Kenny had a big one at the end.
He was man of the match.
Johnny Kenny was?
No.
Troy Parrott. Right. Troy Parrott, man of the match. He did not want that, Ger. He did not want that acclaim. Didn't deserve to be player match. Why didn't they just give it to Seamus Coleman so they could ask him the question, are you going to retire?
It's a fair point. It is a fair point.
Why did Seamus Coleman have his 3 kids with him if he's going to play on?
They might be at every game. They just don't get put on camera.
Well, he obviously had planned for the fact that this was not going to be a meaningless nil-all friendly against North Macedonia. It was going to be a game that ended in a penalty shootout against the Danes for which we qualified. And then you want the kids to be like, oh, I was there the night you qualified.
Did anybody watch the Czechia penalty shootout?
Yeah. I watched it on my way back from...
That hurt a bit now, I have to say.
It did. It did to a point, like... It did,
I was happy for them.
Yeah. I'm of the same thinking. I think they're a good bunch. Not that the Danes aren't, but they've had a bit of a bit of a drought themselves. They haven't been at a tournament, I think, since around the same time as us, maybe. Well, in the early 2000s.
Oh, the Czechs, sorry.
Sorry, into a World Cup.
It's 20 years, yeah. 2006 World Cup.
They've been in the Euros,
they've been every
Euros regular.
They've missed 1 Euros.
That's right, yeah. But no, it'd be good for them. Although it doesn't seem like the hunger was quite... the same as the hunger that we have. I'm sure they get up for the tournament when they get over there.
He's those Danish penalties. Rasmus missed first.
Man United.
Question. I mean, did Italy practice their penalties? They were atrocious as well. They've lost to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Italy haven't been in a World Cup since Luis Suarez bit Giorgio Chiellini, 2014. That's hard to believe,
isn't it? Actually insane.
Well, it's because they won the European Championships in such a kind of attractive fashion at Wembley.
And they were amazing.
You know, I really like that team.
They were on like a 30-game unbeaten run something ridiculous. Yeah.
Federico Chiesa at that time was one of the best forwards in Europe.
The first former winner to not qualify for 3 World Cups in a row. It's only second to Brazil as far as World Cup winners go.
Did they sack Gattuso on the plane or did they even?
Well, it was a game in Bosnia. Leave in Sarajevo.
Yeah. He has connections.
It was in Bosnia. Yeah.
That is mad, isn't it?
Mm. It was a mad night of
football. What is going on there?
I know
the league football isn't what it used to be, but it's still not, it's not terrible. Inter were in a Champions League final.
But you know what? I was looking at it this morning. So they, off the top of my head, they've done really well in the qualifying groups. So there was two. So this one, they lost twice to Norway, came second in the group, won every other game, I think, and got into the playoff. They'd done something similar a couple of years ago. I think they won every game and drew with Switzerland and ended up having to go into a playoff because Switzerland had a better goal difference.
And then they're just bad at playoffs.
There was the one, and they lost to Macedonia in that one, and then Portugal ended up beating Macedonia in that playoff final. And then the one before that was something similar. They'd won pretty much every game, maybe lost one, and had ended up in the playoff. And that was the year they lost over 2 legs, 1-0 to Sweden. So it is just a playoff thing by looks of it, you know.
It's interesting,
Sweden, on the other hand, didn't win a game, finished bottom of their group, won 2 points and end up going through courtesy of the Nations League.
If Graham Potter. Wanted a bit of validation for
Graham Potter,
the side of Swedish football.
Good point. Yeah, so they're through. Turkey are through.
Turkey, Kosovo,
So now we have our full lineup for the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, the big one, of course, last night was Jamaica and the Democratic Republic of Congo. That was the actual last one and kicked off at 10 o'clock.
Iraq made it as well, didn't they?
Sorry, Iraq, Bolivia.
They were the last one. That was this morning.
Was that this morning? Sorry, you're right. That hadn't happened.
It's our full lineup, yeah.
The Democratic Republic of Congo's run was ridiculous as well. They won a penalty shootout in an African qualifier and then got there, obviously beat Cameroon, I think, who were not favourites to beat Cameroon. Got a 1-0 win in extra time last night against Jamaica. So they played them games over in America.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The
qualifiers.
The qualifiers between
Oceania and
the other ones. I can't.
Are
remember.
They manifesting?
Can't remember names of the federations.
Manifesting the World Cup.
Yeah, they're just giving the. Were they in Canada? Maybe giving the Canadians a bit of prep for the. For the tournament itself, but
a little bit of hype, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's obviously because there's such a discrepancy in distance between the two places, it would be kind of
unfair home advantage.
You'd imagine so, yeah.
Let's annoy everybody equally and have no fans on the ground.
Yeah.
What are they saying this morning? Jesus, it's hard to get into this game. Like, I actually thought we were going to play quite well. Thought we played a bit of football.
Yeah, we were all right, yeah.
Yesterday, said that you didn't care about the performance, you needed the results. Have you changed your tune now?
I said if I had to pick one,
yeah.
And you do have to pick one in this industry. You do one or the other. There is no nuance here.
True for a bit of
I would say, one. I know, I enjoyed some of the football played last night, I have to say. There was
some intricate passing. For instance,
Troy Parrott said, just let go, that should have been allowed. That's a beautiful back-to-front passing job of Finn Azaz.
Azaz again, he did three or four times. He's again, done that again.
Destroying the Macedonian defence. Frustration once again, though, as Ireland fire blanks... is at the back page of the Irish Independent. World Cup playoff hangover this third. A drab stalemate with North Macedonia. In brighter news, Croke Park to host United and Leeds in pre-season friendly. Is that grunt?
No, I just imagine how that's going to go down.
Well, it's interesting you said it because it's on Wednesday the 12th of August. It'll be the first time...
Well, that's very close to the new season kickoff.
First time... it's 17 years actually since the last football game was played at Croke Park, and that was
Ireland,
yeah, against France.
France, yes,
yeah. November 2009 was the last time soccer matches played.
I reckon that was GAHQ before or after Katie Taylor's retirement fight in Croke Park.
Before,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
We just heard the initial announcement.
And who's making all the money from this? Is it the GAA promoting this, or who's actually?
I just don't know.
Because obviously the FAI announced their Arsenal game last week.
Yeah.
I'm actually in favour of this. The stadium's making money for the sporting organisations by putting on sports events. I realise it's, you know, it's shocking this.
Well, it says here, Croke Park has been broadening its reach in other sports with the staging of an NFL game. As you know, last September, it hosted five Leinster games over the last 2 years. Leinster rugby, that is.
Five, too.
The GAA intercounty season concludes at the end of July with the All-Ireland Ladies Football and Camogie finals on successive weekends after that. So this will be sandwiched in, this match.
Is Westlife... in Croke Park this September, aren't they? I'm sure there's a couple of big cons.
Did you ask Nicky Byrne when he was on last week?
No,
I just sang a Mickey Joe Hart instead.
He'd enjoy that.
He did actually, in fairness to him. Nina Maher hopes Simon can aid.
You know that went straight in the Westlife WhatsApp group. You won't believe what this clown on Off the Ball just did. He thought we were Mickey Joe Hart.
Oh, hi, mum. Hi, dad.
But you know.
Yes. Yes.
No.
The MD.
No, I didn't do that. Nicky.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Nicky did that.
Yeah. I didn't. You weren't there, man. You were at the airport.
He's not in the Westlife group chat.
Yeah, he certainly isn't. And also, certainly is not in the Westlife group chat. And Nicky Byrne could not fake that delight that he had with us. He was giddy.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it.
And then afterwards, it wears off.
A moment.
Like, wait a second, what?
There was a moment between us all, even me out there. I was involved in that, you know what I mean? Like that.
He was pulling the strings at the back, like spin his ass over there in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
But sure, don't act out. Don't act just because you went halfway through the show. Don't act out like that, okay? Now,
that's the most damning and faint praise you've ever heard. On the production level, you could be like Maradona, but no, you're Finn's ass. Don't worry.
I didn't take that as an insult at all.
It was definitely intended that way.
Well, wasn't.
No,
it wasn't. He's so toxic,
so cynical. This
you are a walking future panorama. You know that it'll be unbelievable.
You got your feet on my wall.
It'll be unbelievable Monday night.
Sorry,
I booked that. What's the plan now, Thomas? Tuchel's World Cup send off turns sour.
That is the tone. It's the headline is written in as well.
As fans cheer defeat by Japan, they lost to Japan. Kairi Mitoma scored.
Yeah.
For the Japanese, as they beat England, a very bad window for them. They drew 1-1 with Uruguay, but it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, we've seen the version of England where they're class in between tournaments.
They didn't pick Harry Kane last night. He was he got the Arsenal Bayern Munich super club call. Do not play this man under any circumstances. Yeah. We're actually good.
I can see this becoming an issue at the World Cup and people looking back and saying this all started. If things start to go wrong for England at the World Cup, this all started with the Arsenal boys leaving, the loss to Japan. I can see it happen already. Yeah, the capitulation of Tuchel with England.
You could be onto something there.
I see he was putting saunas in all the lads' houses and all. He was, so they can start getting used to the temperature and all this right. stuff.
That's a change since Euro 94 when they used to go to the local gym to get the sauna, but now they're mega wealthy. They can have their own in the backyard.
That's not a power to have as a part-time really? Manager of a player, isn't it?
What?
Have a sauna in their gaffs.
Well, I think that maybe, you know, one of the leading players, what do you call those groups?
Leadership groups, sir.
Oh, you're sorry, in one of that rugby bullshit. Yeah. Key member of the leadership group, huge captain. Anyway, I said they decided here we can afford a sauna. Yeah. Turns out they're actually, you know, they've come down.
Little small ones, portable ones. Like.
Yeah, England go back to the bad old days, it says here on the back of the Times. And then De Zerbi to stay at Spurs if relegated, which kind of was one of my first questions in my mind anyway when he was appointed.
Who, like?
Yeah, there's no...
not to question the report or anything, but like...
Roberto De Zerbi is committed to staying at Spurs beyond the season, even if they're in the championship. It's just a continuation of the head.
5 years,
Five-year deal. And the worry, we'll talk with Dan Kilpatrick about this, but I'll be interested to hear from Bobby Dwyer and everybody else of a Tottenham persuasion. Is that like Roberto De Zerbi at Brighton? Now, this was a few years ago. He replaced Graham Potter when Potter went to Chelsea. I think the first half a dozen games he didn't win. Brighton, they can't afford that, Spurs.
No.
I would have thought, go for personality hire. Get in Harry. Not even Glenn Hoddle.
With six draws being
the Serbian.
Six draws put on right.
They're on, I think they're on 30 points now in the magic 40s.
37. 40 isn't required.
I think 40 is like the you'd be safe. Of
yeah. They haven't won in 2026 in the Premier League.
Is that right? Yeah.
They were third at one point under the previous manager.
Frank. Under Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. They were playing badly,
and they're winning 1-0. Yeah. And the fans wouldn't like the football, and now they might have that time back again.
There's a fairly decent portion of the fans, obviously, not happy with this appointment either, purely based on the character level.
Yeah,
for his stance on Mason Greenwood at Marseille. So,
anyway, we go back to this Ireland game last night, will we?
Yeah.
Get your thoughts in. We'll get to as many as we can. This is the back of the Irish Daily Star. Seamus Gowan. Hargreaves wants Coleman to keep leading in green jersey.
Shame must go on. That's quite good. Like the show must go on.
Now, Hamer did say this immediately after the game too. And we spoke with him ourselves, didn't we? That,
you know.
We did.
We hear?
At the Star.
Sure.
You play a clip?
Yeah. We hear from Hamer Hargreaves speaking last night.
Let's do it.
After the 0-0 draw with North Macedonia. Have a listen.
Now, Hamer, how do you assess that game?
Well, it was a strange one, wasn't it? Started very slowly, and I felt like they were trying to kill the tempo the whole time from first minute to the last. And it was always going to be about character this game. After we played in so many games, where everything was on the line, so it was always going to be tough to come here and start flying. I felt like the rhythm never kind of got going until the second half. Tactically, I think we improved as the game went on. We're mostly pleased with the characters and the players pushed and left everything on the pitch. I think that they showed everyone that they really wanted to have the winning goal, got the chances to do that, but unfortunately we didn't convert it.
Yeah, that's Hamer Hargreaves last night after it finished scoreless. He spoke with the TV immediately afterwards, like I said, described it as a strange game. He also said that to our own Ben Symes in the description of the match itself, but he was pleased with the second half. Described the first half saying that North Macedonia were so deep that it was hard to press them. Ireland went man for man in the second half and it was much improved. They created a number of opportunities last night. I mean, no wonder Troy Parrott was disappointed with himself. He said he blames himself for all the mischances, not good enough on the night. said it warms his heart, which I think he's fond of that phrase, warming of the heart, that there was such a high attendance to this match. 39,560 attended a completely meaningless friendly after the heartbreak a few days before.
And Matthew had good information on that. You were at the game.
I was, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I would say it did. Usually I'd be first one to sort of query that, like, you know, to be like, I'm not sure it was at that amount, but it did. Looking around felt a bit. I remember I was at the Armenia game that they won 1-0. And it didn't feel a whole lot less than that. And it wasn't a whole lot less than that. So it is a decent turnout. The atmosphere was pretty drab, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Even given the quantity of people that were there. It was just, there was times in the game where there was a few chants going around and people were trying to get it going a bit. And it did, but it was a very, like, we're trying to do this. We don't really want to be doing this, which is understandable. Yeah. The game itself was, as you say, like we were probably the better team, I think, and the balance of play. But that being said, I can't imagine the North Macedonians wanted to be there. I actually didn't see one North Macedonian jersey around the place. I was looking around because obviously Hamer had gotten the away fans moved.
Yeah.
So I was looking around trying to figure out where they were and I couldn't.
Vaporized.
So, yeah. No, but I imagine a couple of them had probably booked flights and that over, like, you know, some of the big supporting North Macedonian ultras. Like, I thought, you know, if we do beat the Danes, we'd be over there, over in Dublin. But
either way, they were coming to Dublin.
Yeah. So, but I didn't.
Oh no,
I didn't,
sorry. See, they'd won. Of course, yeah, they would have been Czechia. Czechia.
Yes. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, a few, like, it was good to see. I was happy enough, I suppose. I know I'd said yesterday. I thought he'd make a few more changes than he did. I didn't think,
three changes to start with from
I didn't
last
think,
Thursday.
I thought Ryan Manning would start, but I thought maybe Liam Scales. I did say I thought Jacob Ryan would drop to the bench, but I thought Liam Scales would just play at centre half, but he played on the left. John Egan came in. I wonder, is there anything reading into that, whether John Egan will be back again? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to know.
I found out that they took him off as well.
Yeah.
You give him the whole game if you're going
to
play him.
Yeah, it was great to see the likes of James Banquo make his debut, and Poston Lowell make his debut, and Harvey Vale, I know he came on against Czechia, but looked bright last night. A couple of nice touches, the sort of thing that when yourselves and Keith were talking yesterday about players who can put their foot in the ball and play a pass, he's definitely looked like someone who can do that. He did take up the Azaz role, which is something that we're going to have to have a proper think about going forward, in that can we get the both of them in the same team? Is there a world where if Lowell is what we think he might be, could you have a midfield too of Lowell and Azaz with Vale further forward against against certain opposition? Again, international football's funny. You'll have different horses for courses, I suppose. But yeah, it was. I felt there was a bit of closure there for people last night, good to see as well that all of the players did get a decent reception. Your Alan Browns and your Finn Azaz.
Yeah,
there's
no
kind of animosity towards them in the stadium anyway, which I was slightly fearful of. But
I think, say, if I want to try Parachat's going in, it was a pretty good night overall. As far as totally meaningless friendlies where nobody wants to play them at all and nothing really happens, as far as that goes, it was actually a pretty good performance.
Yeah, it was grand. Like, yeah,
I thought some of the passing was decent, especially towards the end of the match. We were fizzing it through the middle.
Yeah.
Attacking their final third. Like, they looked like they have no real interest. They had a deflected free kick by their captain in the first half, Maggie, which was kind of comfortably enough saved by Kelleher. I think the only other time they threatened at all was Herrera, their left back, fired in
across.
That was a great cross.
That should have been a goal.
That quality of play had probably no business being in a match like that. But that was a brilliant, brilliant cross. And other than that, they had no interest really. But I still thought we played some pretty good football. I still think we created a number of opportunities. And like, Parrish rightly annoyed himself. Johnny Kenny at the end with that chance to score.
That's a great chance.
Like one of the all-time great assists by Adam Eder.
Brilliant.
If he had finished that.
Yeah. Well, he had a couple of free kicks around the edge of the area too. I was surprised. I think Eder took the last one.
I was surprised by that.
I thought Vale was standing over and didn't take it. But
confused by that one.
I've been continued backing of Finn Azaz in set piece situations. That first half free kick in the edge of the box.
Yeah.
I really thought he was going to whip that into the top corner.
Yeah, it's funny because you just have a couple of those shots. You see, it was the same the other night. Someone mentioned it yesterday. It kind of floated in on the television. It looked like it was going to really threaten to go in.
Yes,
and it didn't. Obviously, it ended up keeper caught it, and it was the same last night with the free kick. Didn't really get enough behind it. But you see some of the goals he scores for Southampton, and he does get some proper purchase behind him.
Would it be terrible of me to explain what's gone on behind the scenes this morning?
No, I think it's
bad. I'll go for it.
It's very unfair. I'm sorry, I've now been given. I've been bullied into it by two members of staff of GC
sure.
this.
Yeah.
So
we've bullied you.
What day is today?
First we led with it, didn't we?
We did. You did. You did. Said April Fools. You did. Look at you.
What was that?
Well, getting all bashful.
He's delighted. Why
are you so bashful?
So a story popped up. We use Teams. Other organisations use Slack. I think there are other messaging things that people use. We don't, you know, on air endorse them.
Oh
yet.
My God! Eat the damn orange, man.
But poor Cameron Hill put in the group this morning. Big story coming out of France. So we know there's Indian.
You can't do this to the fella.
I just got told to. What is it?
Sorry.
Oh, did you?
You weren't.
Well, I didn't hold him back. I didn't, you know.
That's a production. Dara
is retracting here now. Get off the pitch. I'm standing firm.
So Zinedine Zidane is finishing up is taking over as the manager of the French national football team, which means Didier Deschamps is going to be available for gigs. And Rugby Ram in France this morning reporting that he's going to be part of the French management team for the Rugby World Cup next year. Cameron put it straight in the message this morning. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And it lasted about 15 minutes. 20 minutes.
Yep.
I don't know. We don't know if it made to air on News Talk this morning. That's why you should actually watch this of the morning instead of News Talk if you want your sports news.
To be fair, it's a believable story.
That's good. It's just in the right area.
Yeah, it's a really good April Fool's.
Yeah.
Because Clive Woodward to Southampton, like, there's precedent for this type of switch up.
The madness of the French rugby management. Like they'll give anybody a gig in the hope that they can bring some good juju to the situation as opposed to all the bad juju that has surrounded the team since Galtier and his magic glasses arrived.
While we're on the topic of behind the scenes, we're trying to get James Abankwa and Jake O'Brien on the show this morning.
Yes.
Stand by for that. We will have then Whedon, as I say, in about 15, 20 minutes or so.
The under-17s qualified for the World Cup. They beat Slovakia 7-0 last night. They missed out on qualification for the European Championships, which is actually better than qualifying for the World Cup, because the World Cup is every year. The European Championships, only 8 teams go. Croatia and Poland drew 1-1, which means that Croatia finished top of our group in the under-17. So we don't qualify for the Euros. We do qualify for the World Cup, and that's every year.
Okay. It was a good buzz. I actually wasn't aware of the fact it was every year. I don't think it's always been every year, but there was a good buzz around the place for the under-17s when they were playing over in Qatar.
Yeah, yeah.
They're only...
It was the penalty shootout with the annoying American.
Yeah, Canadian.
Canadian.
The Indian fella, yeah. That is actually American.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, wasn't he?
He is American.
Sorry, but it was Canada they were playing.
Right.
Yeah.
But he had left America to play for Canada.
Yeah. And we had the kid, we've Grady McDonald, who was playing, who's obviously Canadian.
That's right, himself, yeah. Oh, that was Ireland, the thing, wasn't it? Yeah, he was going at him.
Yeah, he was a jarring young fella, wasn't he?
I like it, though.
Ah, yeah. If he's on your team, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not, like...
It's the fact they didn't win. You have to win. You have to. Yeah. I don't think he said
Joe Murphy yesterday was like, oh, I was getting in his head. I was being a bit mouthy.
Noticeably.
Yeah. Kenny Murphy scored a hat trick.
Is there anything he can't do?
I know, yeah.
Well, people are complaining about his cinema. Shut up, please.
See that in Dingle?
Shut up.
He bought a cinema in Dingle. Sure, and they
don't. Overage.
What is it?
Well, some people don't want it. It'll be fine.
There's always a neighbour in this country rejecting something. 0879-180-180. What neighbour reject your idea?
That's great.
Why do you buy one in Dingle, though? Is that why people are giving out that he's...
No, they're giving out because they disagree with the refurbishment that he's doing. But he would have spent summers there as a kid and watched loads of movies there. And he brought the kids to watch it, and they closed down during COVID. And now they've afford to... Bring more culture to the city or the town.
Do you want me to read this out? Czechs are bouncing. Oh, it hurts. I can't help but be happy for them. I feel like they're part of our journey. You know what I mean? De Zerbi promises to excite at Spurs. I would say De Zerbi promises to exit Spurs.
At some point.
Yes.
In the near future.
It will happen. I don't know about disappointment. You know, I do. Would it be a disappointment? Disappointment. I don't know. Like, there is a lot to De Zerbi. I just don't know if he's right for Spurs.
They've this whole like having to break the bank to get him. He's
going to be one of the highest paid players managers.
He must have won the European Cup with Marseille or something. Was that what happened? It's like the time when Marseille was an unqualified success, was it? What has happened that his reputation is now so high that he has to be one of the highest paid managers in the world?
Yeah. I think it's because he always tends to leave on his own accord, you know?
Brighton got rid of him.
Yeah. It was going downhill with Brighton towards the end.
Brighton didn't sack him, did they?
They didn't sack him, but...
He just left.
They had a bad run of results towards the end.
I could be wrong here now. You might be right, but I don't know. I feel like he just has this sort of thing of, I do things my own way, which therefore increases his kind of reputation, but... Yeah, I'm not sold on it myself, to be honest.
Is it just because Spurs is such an unattractive job? So you have to pay someone like that who's a decently big name, a decent bit of cash, to convince him?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, it's they could have just gotten Dyche in for a few games.
I at the same time, I wouldn't have got Dyche. I was really convincing myself of Harry coming back into football. Just being that feel-good soccer age style throughout the rest of the season. Dermot Keenan says that, today I believe nothing anyone tells me. Believe this, it's Jason Malumbi talking last night in the aftermath of Ireland's 0-0 draw with North Macedonia. Have a listen.
How do you feel you are at the moment in the stage of your Irish career? Because I think a lot of people thought that game in Prague was almost a coming age for you in an Ireland shirt, a really, really impressive performance. How have you found your role under Hal Grimson's team?
Yeah, obviously, I'm 26 now. I feel like I'm maturing and I'm in a good stage of my career for the age I'm at, and I feel good. Obviously, I've had early setbacks in your career, but it means everything for me to play for Ireland, and I feel like it's about time, you know. I need to start stepping up and doing more, and I feel good and feel like I can help going forward.
Yeah, he's had a good couple of last games, isn't he?
Absolutely.
He's
really stepped up, yeah.
Outlook on him was maybe 12, 18 months ago, night and day.
Yeah.
I would say even 9 months ago. Yeah, 6 months ago.
He's actually bringing it forward with him a lot last night. Are you like looking into this game in any way at all last night? Because I actually think there was pretty decent football played.
In a positive sense.
I've seen these type of games before. Like, nothing this meaningless, because it was so heartbreaking after Thursday. But I've seen these games before where nothing happens. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
But at least, like, there was still at least a bit of creativity about last night's play. Like, the conversation that we were having with Keith Tracy on yesterday's show, we continued that via voice note last night.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of back and forth about what people think should happen.
Yeah,
which are the expectations of this Irish team? Mm. What are yours?
What are my expectations as far as how we should be playing football?
Yeah, per that conversation yesterday on the show.
Yeah, I think, not to sit on the fence or ratting on it, but there's, I think there's a dependence on what players you've got, but there's also a dependence on what opponents you're going up against. I think international football is very game by game. I think there's an element where, of course, you would like to see us put our foot on the ball, and I think mainly just to relieve a bit of pressure is the main thing. I don't care for seeing Ireland playing intricate little passes around the edge of the box, like even North Macedonia at points last night were getting the ball around the halfway line and they were doing little 1-2s and passing around, and I was kind of like, that's nothing possession, like there's nothing going on here, you're not, this is aimless stuff. I would almost sooner us do what we're doing and retreat into our shape and all that sort of stuff, and especially against the bigger opponents, that's going to be the kind of on paper better opponents, that's going to be important to hold your shape as best you can. But as far as going up against these teams like your Armenias, we do need to, and under Hamer, it's something that up until that Armenia game we had been doing. We were beating teams that we should be beating. Was kind of the problem I'd had for years, was we were going into games against teams that were better than and losing or drawing, and Hamer seemed to turn the corner with the Bulgaria games and with the Finland games to an extent, and then the Armenia thing happened. But if we can get to a point where we're going up against teams that are on our level or slightly better or slightly worse than us and getting victories, that's kind of all I want.
To that point though, last night was a slowdown in that. It would have kept everything.
I
think Colin's bit about the result was actually
I'm with you, but when you say about,
remember this in October,
when you September. Say about reading into last night though, I wouldn't really read into it at all. I think the game is so unique. I can't, hopefully we never have a game like that again. So I wouldn't read into, I know what you mean about the result, and it's the exact point I'm making about beating teams we should be beating, but I think as far as the style of play goes, I do think it's just dependent on the game, really.
Yeah, see, because last night was so meaningless, I think we could prove a little bit with no pressure. It's like, ah, we can play a bit of ball here. There is something
to be had. And we did do that, to be fair.
And we did. I mean, I think they looked incredibly limited. Incredibly limited compared to us. And I understand that no one cared. But you can still see what you can do with the ball when no one cares. Yeah. There was a bit more life to the game than I expected, to be honest with you. I was fully anticipating a 0-0. And I thought that there'd be nothing happening. For large swathes of the game, that was the case. Probably midway through the first half and probably 15 minutes of the second half, there was nothing going on. Towards the end of the game, we really stepped it up.
Yeah, I think the substitutions coming on, a couple of lads getting a debut.
Yeah.
Like, that is really important. Like, Bose Lawal, like, I know you've been raving about him for months now.
Yeah.
I haven't watched much of him, but he's a really good player. And he can play, he can obviously play a couple of positions in defence as well. So,
yeah,
that's really good to blood someone in like that.
Yeah, he looked a wee bit nervous last night. He had a few kind of loose touches, but that's kind of only to be expected, I think.
Yeah, there was one from that throw-in, yeah. But then he had that
straight out, the swivel. The swivel was
very physical.
He's a presence. Exactly. We've never, I can't recall the last time we had a presence like that in midfield.
Yeah, it's you. And that's what I'm crying out for. This is all this comes from. It's just like, can we just have a midfielder?
Yeah, so when we, and not to look too far ahead because it's still raw, especially after Czechia getting through last night. But if we're looking towards our First Nations League game against Kosovo in September, I think it is, maybe a little bit later. Off the team that we had play out against Czechia on Thursday, how many changes are you looking at there? Like, what are you thinking? What's the kind of how different do we want it to look?
I don't think it's going to look hugely different. I kind of do expect Seamus Coleman to retire and for it to be a clean break in the summer as opposed to next season. So there's a gap there. I don't know what's going to happen at left back. Until Zoma Bamdeli come back into the team, if you want to do something slightly different in the defence, if he plays all the time between now and the end of the year, which, you know, isn't a guarantee. Mm. And then after that, Josh Cullen's back, right? Straight in the team.
Yeah,
if he's fit,
yeah,
will he be fit? He'll be close enough, touch and go. Evan Ferguson will be fit. Will he come straight back into the team?
This is the thing. Like, there's loads of options.
I know we were asking yesterday, Keith, would you go 4-4-2 or try 4-4-2? Like, the difficulty is, you just want to get a couple of wins to make sure that you want to get we want to stay in this division of the league that's slightly higher standards and start competing in it so that we've got preparation time. I don't expect him to make changes. I don't expect him to go 4-4-2, but it might be interesting to see what would happen if you were able to play Ferguson and Parrott. Can we build a team around that as opposed to building a team around three great centre-backs? Because, like, our centre-backs are good, but the potential is for us to have great strikers.
The worry is Nathan Collins in a two.
Yeah.
And we're going to be defending more than we're attacking in most games.
Yeah, but maybe Nathan's not on the team if it's a two.
And then at the same time, you want him in the team, don't you?
Yeah,
as the captain, as one of the leaders of the group, and when on his day.
And what I'm saying is that it might be a straight choice between Ferguson or Collins.
Yeah, it's funny that. Yeah, that's a fair point, because if you do move to that forward, then you might go. Yeah, the trade-off for the team might actually be better. You wouldn't know. Yeah. It's just a slight danger when you do make that change that you bring some. So people, I think, are content enough with what they're seeing at the moment that if you do make a change and it backfires, you can always switch back. I understand that, but it backfires and then you've kind of got people on your back once again.
I just wouldn't be ruling out the hybrid version of how we play rather than this, the long ball thing. It's like, well, we're no good, so we have to play into this play.
No, I'm not saying that at all. That's what I'm saying. It depends on the team that we're playing, you know?
I think...
I remember the reaction after the Portugal away game where we lost, where Keller saved Ronaldo's penalty and we lost late on.
Yeah.
And it was we didn't go toe-to-toe with them, but we kept them goalless for the majority of the game.
The life of them.
Yeah, and no one was happy.
That was ridiculous.
Because we did nothing.
Nothing. That's what I mean. Like, it was like, I saw in the comment section yesterday, well, it's just like, I don't know what happens. Is it group think or what? But everyone goes the same direction about this Irish team. It's like everyone's writing them off. Either that they're no good and they can't play ball, and then we don't play any ball at all.
Yeah.
They get criticised for having no ambition.
Yeah.
So what do people actually want from this group? Yeah. Like, there's actually a good comment here by Carl Leary.
Yeah.
Ireland need to look at how Newcastle play direct aggressive play with midfield runners. Now, I'm all aboard that. Like, there's a misinterpretation that I'm trying to keep possession for possession's sake. It's not about that at all.
No,
it's about what you have.
It's what's next.
Yeah, what's next? And I just don't like the idea of completely ruling out the fact that we're in any way lacking progress with the football. I just don't think that's the case. It was a Brian Armour pointed out to me yesterday. The Championship's one of the highest rated leagues in Europe, and up to stats way further ahead than the Czech league.
Yeah.
People came back and said, well, the Czech team's playing Europe. No, sure, how do they get on in Europe? Like,
that's I'd be witch, and I think like top six teams in the Championship would get as far as any of the Premier League teams would.
Yeah, so forgive me for wanting
Premier
a bit
teams
more
that
on
are
the ball
in the Conference League, yeah, no,
from our Championship players like who were good players. And on that, I thought Jason Knight was quite good last night.
He looked like he had a point to prove.
He did, yeah, he was energetic. And that's what I mean, it was slightly more energy in this really weird game that we can all agree on there. We'll never think about again. Finazaz, though, how is he coming out of this window?
Good.
I think so.
Yeah, like, look, he missed a penalty in the penalty shootout. Yeah. That doesn't say anything about him as a player.
No, I think Finazaz is one of our best players.
Yeah, he's one of the more crucial players.
And I actually think that despite his kind of flaws as far as drifting in now games goes and maybe making the wrong pass at the wrong time or whatever, but I think what he offers you is just what he offers us is far too valuable to be criticising him. There is a bit of a split on him, I think. I think some people just aren't a fan of him. It's a bit weird, but
we wouldn't have got through that Hungary game without him.
We wouldn't have got through most of our games. I think Gav Cooney said on here one morning as well, like, he's all over every one of the goals that we scored. Yeah. He's just there. He has a hand in them all.
If Parrott's the goal scorer, Zaz is involved somewhere down the line. The other thing is, like, how did we manage to be Portugal 2-0 if we can't do anything with the ball?
Yeah.
And also, Parrott's second goal against Hungary, like, again, beautiful football. Yeah. Look, Hamer Hagmundsson was talking about Finazaz last night. It's the last clip we'll play from last night's festivities. Have a listen.
Hamer, just on Finazaz, he certainly showed some bright spots over the last few games. Some of his combinations with Troy Parrott tonight were quite impressive. Do you feel, you'll hear a lot of former internationals say, it takes 20 to 30 games before you really find your feet at international level. Is that something you feel we will see the best of Finazaz maybe when he gets that amount of caps?
Yeah, I think he's, first of all, growing in confidence. That's what we see within this camp. He's taking more leadership role, especially in possession. He's now one of our key players, finding the correct pocket. So he's an exceptionally clever footballer. And he's now adding skills into it. And as we play more together with him playing with Troy and Gio, they are now finding the strength in each other, and that's what grows. They understand each other better. And if you've been watching the season for him, he's been flying in his club, and have now game after game, he's probably the best man on the pitch. So he's growing as an individual, but he's also growing in our team.
Eamonn Hargreaves there on Finazaz's increasing influence on proceedings. Back at the Sun Sport, hope we haven't seen the back of him, Hamer, on Seamus Coleman. Jer, you've seen a lot of right backs in your time. Where is this guy?
I think it's just better to talk about Coleman's impact on Ireland, and because it does comparison things. It's always like you end up arguing. Joy.
I was
like,
just interested to see where you were.
I think that like we always end up in a, and then it ends up in an argument about it's like, this guy's better than him because of this. I'm like, actually, Seamus has more than that. Like, he has a unifying power. The backstory, the down-to-earthness, all the anecdotes you hear about him and his Donegalness, the fact that it was Sligo he went from, the fact that it was Everton he went to and became a one-club man, obviously with the season on loan. But, like, just that level of influence where some of the world's great managers, like Carlo Ancelotti, talks about him in kind of hushed tones, you know, typical Ancelotti fashion. But it's I just really feel like so many of our athletes, right? You desperately try not to turn them into role models because they're human beings and they're all prone to the failings that we all have as human beings and the mistakes that we make. But Seamus is a genuine role model, as well as being brilliant at what he does. And you know, in the darkest days when we were scratching around trying to win games, he'd scuff one in. And not that often, but like, there was nothing quite like him rampaging down the wing. And then there was the Jeremy Doku. Remember, was that a friendly? Was that a Nations League game?
Yeah.
Where everyone was like, well, this isn't going to be great. And then he just put him in his pocket.
Yeah.
And then
He had no right to be as competitive as he was last Thursday in Prague, considering the lack of football he's played since the Hungary match.
Yeah.
He's barely kicked the football.
Is he 38 now?
37.
He'll be 40 by the time the Euros roll around, so he's going to turn 38 fairly soon.
There's a few more 40-plus-year-olds staying in
Edin
professional Dzeko football.
Qualified for the World Cup last night.
My instinct when he went off the pitch last night was like, if you can and you want to, there's no need to retire yet.
No.
He wants to play every bit of football he can. He doesn't play that much at club level.
Yeah.
There's more chance of playing for Ireland than he does for everything.
He completely encapsulates what Irish football is supposed to be and has been. Like, do you remember the story about it was a Paul Conroy, he gave advice when he had a really bad leg break or something, and he contacted him out of the blue and helped him through it because he obviously had his own serious injury, and it's just like, he did not need to do that.
Yeah,
it was just the type of person he was that he, you know, he felt he could do that, so he would.
In a weird way, right, people are talking about him being a manager or something, but actually maybe we want him to get involved in football administration. That actually he's the future of the FAI as opposed to being the international manager. Because the international manager, you have a run of results, good or bad. When the results are good, everybody thinks, wow, what a legend. When they're bad, because there's going to be periods where things aren't amazing.
What do you see in him that you would think football administration?
That kind of, first off, understanding every level of football in Ireland, which, you know, he didn't go to England at 14 and stay there for 30 years and then be like, oh, this is how we do it at a world-class scenario. It's like, I've actually come from, you know, Killybegs to Sligo to Everton this time at Blackpool. Is it even interesting? It's like, okay, I've seen life in the Championship and I've worked under all these world-class players and I've seen multimillionaire teenagers and I've seen the hardest working multimillionaires that I'm ever going to meet in my life. So he sees all that. And I just think that, like, We've rushed people into the international management job in the past and it has soured their relationship with the country.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking management for him at all, but I am thinking coaching. Well, the guy is actually overseen an Everton game, of course.
Yeah, with Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines' assistant the day that Sean Dyche got sacked.
Yeah.
And they played Peterborough that night in the cup. And there was Coleman on the sideline.
Yeah, look, he can do what he wants. Yeah, and that's the... Yeah, if you go down the coaching route, ultimately, we all think, oh, wouldn't it be great to have your manager? And maybe this is idiotic. Maybe he's like the messiah and he takes us to two World Cups back to back and we're like, well, that was a great decision.
I know what you mean, though. It's someone that deeply cares about Irish football. Like, and you can find a manager and we have a manager, but to get someone like that is rare in that type of role within the FAI. So
he's clearly a hard ass, right?
Yeah.
He's clearly as hard as nails, but also is kind.
Yeah.
You know, it's always noticeable that, like, when he's bringing the mascots out, that he's talking to them as people.
He's different. I'm not saying he's not unique, but he is different.
And he was given out to Collins during the game in Prague. I don't know if that was on the TV or not, but like, it was definitely
Yeah.
You know, Collins was giving it back to him.
Yeah,
that's actually good for Collins. You know,
I always felt with Coleman that he was genuinely fearless and that he was never intimidated by anyone, any opposition ever. Which I don't think you could say a lot about for Irish players. And at the other side, there's the humanity aspect. Even like, there's just tiny little things like rushing off the pitch last night. It's like, I don't want any attention here whatsoever.
Yeah,
get me off this pitch.
Put the attention on James.
Everyone's hand as well on the bench.
Put the attention on a banker who's making
even
his debut.
Even his look has been so consistent.
He's looked same haircut, for 15 years.
Clean shaven, just looks so fit and trim all the time. You never see a dishevelled looking Seamus Coleman.
Not to bring it down in any way, it is a shame that he's only gotten 78 caps.
I saw that yesterday before the match.
If anyone deserves a century,
It
should be like 144.
Yeah. And it would be, wouldn't it?
And it would.
The injury was there. I mean, even to come back from that,
that's
just
say, that's the adversity. Like, that's a career ender.
Now, in terms of him as a pure footballer, take away the personality, take away the character, very hard to do, of course, it's all part of it. What do you think of him as a footballer?
Oh, brilliant.
Well, as in, like, what, 10?
A right back, like.
Obviously, the last couple of years, he hasn't been as prominent as he had been. But there was a stage there where himself on the right and Leighton Baines on the left was in a four at the back, which we sort of see less of now with the way fullbacks are gone. But as a traditional fullback pairing goes, they were the best in the Premier League.
Yeah, definitely.
Like accepted as the best fullback pairing in the Premier League for a couple of years. He was getting linked. I remember getting linked one summer with Man United, with Bayern
abroad,
Munich. There was all sorts of stuff going on. He obviously stuck it out with Everton. But that as a fullback pairing with himself and Baines, because they do get grouped in together because of the nature in which David Moyes' Everton played. Absolutely, like and it says so much about his character that that is the thing that is valued over his footballing ability when he's been a mainstay in a pretty decent Premier League side for the last 15 years, really.
Yep.
Take away the last two or three.
Totally.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.